You are listening to the Developing Up Podcast.
This is the podcast focused on the non-technical side of being a developer.
And good evening, Mike. How's it going?
Going pretty well, Jake. How are you doing tonight?
I am doing fantastic. Doing great. We have these new pop filters.
Pop filters.
Hopefully that didn't blow your ear out. It's amazing what these things can do. They're just two little pieces of fabric back to back, and they make us sound better.
I wish I knew more about like audio engineering to know exactly what it does. Maybe we have some engineering listeners who can tell me.
Yeah, tweet us if you know. We're not experts, but we'd like to figure that out.
What's the deal with pop filters? That's my Seinfeld impression.
I love Seinfeld. All right, so today we're going to talk about making mistakes.
Yeah, very important subject in terms of development, or in personal development, just in life.
Yeah, I think, I mean, this can really be applied to everything. We'll approach it with the development approach as we always do, but it really does apply to anything else in life.
I just want to start off by saying one blanket statement about mistakes, Jake.
Okay.
Set. For everyone listening, no matter what you try to do, you're going to make a mistake in your development career at some point.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to kick it off. If you don't make mistakes, you're probably not progressing.
I think that's fairly accurate to say, yeah.
Yeah.
Mistakes lead to progress.
Yeah, everyone makes mistakes. It's just a human thing to do. So unless you're a robot, which I assume that most of you guys out there aren't, you're going to make mistakes.
I wonder if there are any robots listening.
Maybe like Googlebot?
Googlebot?
Googlebot.
Alexa. Are you there?
That reminds me, my girlfriend just got the Hello Google.
Oh, yeah?
The Google Home.
Yeah. The Google Home.
It's a lot of fun.
Nice.
Anyways, so mistakes. Why don't we talk a little bit about what we mean by mistakes? When I say mistakes, Mike, what comes to mind?
So in terms of development focused, when I think of a mistake, there's a number of scenarios. One is a mistake in actually the code that you're developing. Think about that. A mistake in dealing with a project, maybe someone else on the team or with a client making mistakes in your professional environment. And then just mistakes in everyday businessy things like communication and judgment.
That was exactly what I was going to say too. Also, like perhaps in a contract, you know, maybe you misestimate something.
Estimation, that's a bit easy place to make mistakes.
Yep, it sure is. So yeah, that's what we mean by mistakes, and we wanted to talk about that a little bit more in depth today and how you could understand the benefits of mistakes, how you can approach making mistakes, and then how to deal with mistakes when you actually do make them, which, like we said, will happen inevitably.
Yeah, if it hasn't already, then you must either be a really great developer or...
A robot.
A robot, yeah. So do we want to start out by talking about actually the benefits of making mistakes and why it's important to make mistakes?
Yeah, I think that's a great place to start. One of the things about mistakes is they often have a bad connotation, and I think that's something we should address first. I think they often have a bad connotation because they generally denote something not going according to plan. But the reality is when mistakes happen, good things can often come from them. So say, for example, you're writing code and you go down this rabbit hole of writing code a certain way and you think it's going to work, and then it doesn't end up working, or maybe it doesn't end up working as well as it was supposed to. You could consider that a mistake, but what ends up coming from that mistake is a better approach. So in a sense, that's a positive result of a mistake.
So with that mindset, you can think about mistakes as just learning experiences. Like you're figuring out what doesn't work for your scenario, which is leading you down the right path to find out what will work for what you need to do.
Exactly. It's discovery.
Yeah. So mistake is another word for discovery. I like that. That's a good phrase.
Yeah. All right. Uncovering gold as we go.
So it's interesting. That makes me think about this. Will take me back to my childhood. I used to draw a lot, be really artistic. And I remember having a video. I think it was like Drawing with Sesame Street or Drawing with the Muppets. Who? Gonzo. Who's Gonzo from? The Muppets? I think. I don't know.
No, I believe he's from the Muppets.
He's from the Muppets. All right. So it was like Drawing with the Muppets. It was this VHS tape. And the scene that has stuck with me since then is some little kid, he just makes a mark on a paper and he's like, oh no, I made a mistake. Like, I didn't mean to draw that line. And they say, no, you didn't make a mistake. It's just something new to start with. It's like approach that you didn't think of. And so they draw Gonzo out of like the messed up squiggle line that the kid drew. It just makes me think approaching mistakes as a starting place or a learning place, and not just what's another word for mistake? I want to say not as a mistake, but it's as just a place to start from and to learn from.
Yeah, like a jump off.
Yeah, a jump off point. There we go. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. What it reminded me of is one of the team members on my team is actually working on a personal development project, and he spent a couple months writing this application, and it's very cool, and it was using technologies that he was not familiar with at the time in which he started. And the project came out awesome, but then he kind of looked back on it. He was learning more about these tools, and he realized that the way he went about building this whole project out wasn't maybe wrong. So maybe you don't want to consider it a mistake, but he encountered all the problems as he went. He figured out ways around them, even if they weren't the best. And then when the project was finished, he ended up going back and rewriting the entire thing from scratch. And it didn't take him as long because he knew what problems he was trying to solve. But those quote unquote mistakes that he was making along the way, he's now cementing the right way to do this into his own head. Maybe that's a little bit of a stretch, but when you're doing something maybe the wrong way or making a mistake, realizing that it was a mistake and how to avoid that mistake in the future cements the right way to do it.
So with that scenario, would it be accurate to say it's worthwhile to start down a path, like in development, say with a new technology, you start down, you do something, you try to make it to work, it's not working, you realize you made a mistake, to go back and then learn the right way to do it from the wrong way, and then continue down until you hit that next mistake, and then back up and go forward and learn things that way?
Yeah, exactly. You got to start somewhere. So you start, you encounter hurdles along the way, you realize why you're facing anti-patterns, and then you learn the right way to go about it. And you know how to avoid those pitfalls in the future.
I think that's a very valuable thing that comes from mistakes in development.
So I think another important thing about mistakes as a benefit is they're really only a benefit if you make them once, or if you're learning from your mistakes. You only want to make new mistakes.
So not repeating the same mistakes, not learning from history, all those colloquialisms.
Yeah.
Cool. Thank you, Pop Filter, for helping me say that word.
Yes. So yeah, I think that pretty much covers it. You know, the best mistakes are the ones that you can learn from.
So why do you think that?
Well, mistakes are a good thing, like we were saying, if they can help you grow, if you can learn from them. But if you're going to make the same mistake over and over again, then you're obviously not learning from it because you're falling into the same trap over and over again. So you're not really growing from them.
That goes back to, I don't even know what episode this was from, where you said something along the lines of, what was it? Like, insanity is doing the same thing and expecting a different result. Something like that.
I know we've talked about like goals, like in terms of progression,
plenty of times.
Like, you know, you can't do the same thing day to day and expect different results. You're not going
to
grow.
So it's the same thing with, you can't keep making the same mistake and expect it to resolve.
Right. It's not going to work the 50th time you do it.
Yeah. All right. So the value of mistakes is making them once, learning from them, and then making a new mistake.
Exactly. Only make new mistakes.
All right. Only make new mistakes, listeners. All right. So the benefits of making mistakes and making them once and learning from them is that way it's not a bad connotation, but it's a learning experience. And so it helps progress your development career, your development knowledge, in whatever application you're working with, whether it's new or your experience, you're learning, you're avoiding anti-patterns by not learning the wrong way to do something and fixing or improving on what you're doing.
So it's possible for one to blindly make a mistake, but I think it's also possible for one to be able to calculate a potential mistake and maybe avoid it. So a scenario that I could think of off the top of my head is, you're up against a deadline, you have a certain feature you need to implement or something you need to build, and you may want to try a new approach that you've never taken before. And in a scenario where that deadline is not impending, you have some flexibility in the budget, there's a new way to solve this problem, then maybe taking that approach, that risk that could potentially not work, aka end up as a mistake, that would be appropriate in that scenario. But if you're up against a deadline, it's probably best to stick with what you know. So in that scenario, you're avoiding a mistake.
Jake, that goes along with something we've talked about in terms of like task management and Scrum, right? And in Scrum, when you have an individual task, you can use story points. And the way you figure out a point, it's not like 1 point equals an hour, but you're measuring level of risk that you can take with that to complete it. So it's interesting because I never thought that risk actually builds into itself the likelihood you're going to make a mistake and have to back up.
Right.
So that helps you. That's one of the ways, like professionally in development, if you're using, say, Scrum, knowing those story points or whatever evaluation you're using for individual task has a level of mistakes built into it. And so you can evaluate if you're up, like you said, Jake, against a really tight deadline, can you take on those really risky tasks to complete? Or do you need to refocus your scope or your effort or clarify with a client like expectations?
Right. So you could ask yourself as an exercise, if you're thinking of trying something new, how much wiggle room do you have? And if there really isn't much wiggle room at all, you could probably avoid a mistake by just taking the path most traveled.
Jake, let me ask you a little personally. When you are in that scenario, how do you determine, like, do I have wiggle room or not? Like, what are your personal metrics, I would say, you use?
That's a difficult question to answer, Mike. I would say sometimes it really comes down to when I have this task due. And I am pretty good at calculating how much time it will take me to do a task in a way that I know how to do it. So I can say, maybe I'll spend a couple hours going down this new path. And if I'm seeing a light at the end of the tunnel, then I can continue that way and see it through. Otherwise, I'm probably going to backtrack, take the way that I know. I know that's not a direct answer to your question.
That's right.
Do you have a better, or what's your approach?
I won't say it's better. So my approach in what I thought of in this subject is the idea of time boxing, especially with trying to avoid making mistakes for a particular task or like up against a deadline, is the idea of time boxing where you know you have to work on a task, maybe you're not sure how you're going to do it, but you don't want to go down too far of a rabbit hole. So you say, all right, I'm going to take an hour, a half hour, half a day, however long you have, you know, depending on your project. And I'm going to spend that time to either work on this solution this way or try to figure something else and see what obstacles I run into. And once I hit that time limit, I'm going to stop, evaluate where I am, and then know, should I go down the safe path or a simpler path? Or yes, I feel like I can really accomplish this in the time that I have. Mm-hmm. So time boxing to test stuff so that you don't go down a rabbit hole, but you can dip your toe in to see if there's a lot of potential to make mistakes for that individual item or not. I like to use that a lot.
Yeah. One thing that came to mind when you were saying that, there is a particular project that I am going to start working on soon that is using a set of technologies that I'm not familiar with. And rather than run out the budget, I am trying to take some time in my own personal time to learn these technologies better. And I am using the example that I'm going to need to build as an exercise outside of work. So when the time comes to actually build it in real life, I'm going to have a really good idea of how to approach it. That could potentially be an avoided mistake by wasting too much time.
Yeah. No, I think that's a great way to do it. As long as I worry about you, Jake, sometimes. So I'm going to make sure you're maintaining a healthy work-life balance with that. But you're not taking too much home, and I don't want you to burn out.
I think we've talked about this before. When you code outside of your day job, it can be something that can lead to burnout, or it could be something that's in a different comfort zone, and that can be exciting to you. So I appreciate you looking out for me. In this case, it's something I'm excited about.
Right.
So it's been time well spent.
Excellent.
Another thing that comes to mind when approaching mistake or avoiding a potential mistake is the episode that we did on saying yes, no, or I don't know. And there have been times where someone is asking me a question and I want to give them an answer instead of saying I don't know. But that can lead to a mistake. If you can say something can be done in a certain amount of time or if something is feasible, you say yes when you're not really sure, that can be a mistake that comes back to bite you down the line. So I think saying I don't know is a really great way to avoid a mistake. And you can always get back to someone, but not committing to something right there and then.
Yeah, that's a big red flag to raise if you're saying yes, but you're thinking, I don't know. I mean, there's a big chance you're going to make a mistake. Be comfortable saying, I don't know. But if you're not there yet and you say yes, know that higher potential or higher risk for making mistakes.
Right. So I guess the takeaway there is to avoid guessing. Only answer with confidence.
Answer with confidence. Avoid guessing. Make educated guesses by using time boxing, maybe.
Yeah.
I think that sounds like reasonable advice for our listeners.
Yeah. And then finally, in the way you communicate with someone, I think what we've talked about so far is more in regards to projects and development, but also mistakes can come about as a result of miscommunication with other people. So Mike, let me ask you, when you speak to someone at work, particularly if they're not someone who's a developer, you know, we kind of need to say things in a way that isn't going to technically bore them. It's something that perhaps a client can understand. Do you have special sensitivity that you take in your communication approach when speaking to people about something technical?
Yeah, when talking to someone who may be less technically savvy, I definitely trying to keep in my head how I'm communicating to them, because communication is hard. No matter what you're talking about, communication is hard, and development adds a whole another level to it. One tool or tip I like to use to avoid communication mistakes is after, I'm going to throw it just a little bit differently than what you asked, but when someone says something to me, like when a client talks about requirements they need, or I am talking to designers or UX developers who are showing me things, I always try to phrase a response by saying, so what I heard was X, Y, and Z. And so that gives them a chance to respond and say like, oh no, that's not what I was saying. What I was saying is actually this. So I keep trying to, that's my approach, is to try to go with telling them what I heard them say and how I understood it, so that they can respond to tell me what they're actually trying to accomplish, and keep working on that until we're both on the same page. I think that helps avoid a lot of mistakes in communication.
Right. So what you're saying, Mike, is kind of avoid making any sort of assumption.
Yeah. Avoid making assumptions.
I like that. I like that a lot. I know that the mistake that I see myself making sometimes is when I'm in meetings with members of other teams and we're discussing something that is potentially going to impact the scope of my work, sometimes that can be frustrating. And what I wonder is if my frustration comes out more than I think it does. And not that I'm being mean or grumpy, but sometimes I feel like maybe I show it a little bit too much. So I try to be sensitive to the way I act when things aren't necessarily going in my favor, so that I can still come off as the team member that I want to be, collaborative and understanding and, you know, agile.
When you feel like you're being frustrated or you're showing frustration in a meeting, is that because you feel like you're making assumptions or you're not trying to clarify your understanding of what someone's saying?
Yeah, I think it has something to do with making assumptions and making assumptions about what other people think my job is, and maybe me making assumptions about what I'm assuming that they're assuming. It's not a healthy cycle, but
it's those unknown unknowns sort of issue.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So
I guess the takeaway there is just be aware of how you're communicating. Make sure that you're communicating clearly and in a language that the person you're communicating with can understand, to avoid any sort of misunderstandings, which can then lead to a mistake. Another example I could think of potentially is you're speaking technically to perhaps an account manager, and they're going to go back to the client and say something. So the account manager is asking you about the feasibility of a new feature, perhaps. You don't want to just say, it will take this long. What you really want to make sure is that you understand what they're asking, because they may not know how to ask you, Mike, how long this takes in Drupal. Mm-hmm. They may just be asking for something arbitrary. You might need more information to give them a good answer. So those are the kind of situations where if you're fully on the same plane with someone else, and as far as the discussion goes, you can avoid making mistakes based on misunderstandings.
So something along the lines with that, that my team has been trying to do, it's actually been one of our team goals for the year, is we are trying to treat every question that is asked of us as a why question. It came out of, we were trying to not use the word no. This goes back to when we had the episode on
the no, but yes.
Yeah, if. No, but yes, if. But it's treating those sort of questions like, oh, hey, how long is this going to take? Those sort of questions, not as how long is it in giving them a flat answer. It's always providing a why, like treating it like why question. So this is going to take this long because of these reasons. That really helps avoid those assumptions that anyone can make and that miscommunication and then the mistakes that can come from that, either over-promising, under-delivering, or building the wrong thing sometimes.
Mm-hmm. And another great result of that is that it's educating the person you're speaking to about the actual needs that goes into a certain ask, which is good because they have a better understanding of the technologies that you use. And then it also gives them something to go back to the client with and gives the client a better sense of what actually needs to go into the work to give them what they want.
Yeah, so as a developer, you can think of it this way that, let's just take it generally, if you have to provide an estimate, giving the why that estimate is what it is. If it's a project manager, it gives them the information to then turn back to a client and give the client the number, and the client saying, well, why is it this way? And they don't have to make up an uninformed response to that on the fly. They have the information they need so that they don't make a mistake in communicating with the client, which in turn doesn't make a mistake with what you have to do.
Yeah, there's no question that this was just a fabricated number. It's fully justified with a bullet list of reasons.
And I think that goes beyond estimates. That goes along with if you have bugs, that then you have to justify why they were there or why they weren't caught in the first place, or just the way things were developed and why things were built a certain way. As a developer, providing that information in that background gives others down the chain who have to pass the information along the info they need to do that.
When you just said bugs, explain why that bug wasn't caught or whatever. I run into that situation a lot, and oftentimes it is a mistake on my part that I didn't catch those bugs. So maybe this is a good segue into what happens when you do make mistakes.
I really want to know what you do when there is a mistake, like a bug. How you handle it.
So I apologize, because oftentimes it is my fault. It is something that I have completely overlooked. What always seems to happen is, you know, we build a lot of responsive layouts. The majority of the work is done in the browser, and sometimes testing on the actual mobile device in a smaller screen size just kind of goes to the wayside. And oftentimes there will be bugs that are not present in a desktop browser like Chrome that are appearing in mobile. So it'll be like, hey, why is it doing this? It looks like no one even checked your iPhone or, you know, your Android. And oftentimes the answer is, yeah, we didn't. Sorry, our bad. But, you know, instead of coming off as incompetent or saying we didn't have the time to do it, or we didn't know we were supposed to, or this person was supposed to do it, it's better to just say, you know what, our mistake, complete oversight on our part. We'll get to that right away.
Yeah, the worst thing you can do when confronted with a mistake you've made is throw someone else under the bus or play the blame game or pass the buck or whatever you want to call it. Like, own up to it can definitely help the situation. I've found in the past, whether it's a bug or it's a communication mistake, just say, yep, I made a mistake there. Let's figure out how we can fix it and move forward.
Yeah, also, and maybe not in the scenario of a bug, but one other bad thing you can do is try to cover it up. Covering up can lead to all sorts of bad things. You don't want to develop a reputation as someone who's sneaky. I know one scenario that happened to me, and this is way back when I first started. We were working on this website, and something wasn't supposed to be deployed yet, but it ended up getting deployed early. And there were a couple people that had admin accounts and had the ability to deploy. I was one of them. Something ended up getting deployed, and our boss came around to everyone with an admin account and sat us down one-on-one and was like, hey, be honest with me. Did you make that push? And I was so afraid that I did that I said, maybe. I don't remember doing it, but it's quite possible that I did. And if so, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to. And it later came about that it wasn't me. But it's one of those things where you never want to just say, nope, wasn't me, even if it really was, because, you know, who knows, it could be traced back to you somehow, come back and bite you later.
Yeah, I mean, in some situations, it's bad to make a mistake, but it's worse, as you said, Jake, to cover up those mistakes, because they're going to pile up and eventually they're going to be found. And then, I mean, you have to justify why, you know, you skirted it under the rug or just ignored it. That goes along with the practice of in development, leave it better than you found it. I feel.
Right. If you find a mistake, maybe someone wasn't aware of.
Or anytime you touch code, when you contribute code back, when you make a commit, make that code better than it was given to you.
Right. Fix the bugs.
Yeah. Whatever you can do. Clean things up. Because it's just going to help you in the long run when those mistakes are found, or hopefully then there are no mistakes to be found or no bugs or whatnot.
I think that sometimes people try to avoid taking ownership for their mistakes, or they try to cover up their mistakes because they're afraid of the damage it's going to do to their reputation. Do you have any thoughts about that, Mike?
So yeah, Jake, I have an opinion on this. Definitely with being afraid about your reputation, one of the things that it's easy to do is quickly try to offer a reason why a mistake happened. And you know, as soon as it's pointed out to you, you're like, oh yeah, but that's okay because there's this and this is happening. So don't have to worry about, like, you try to like work your way out of it and dig yourself out of that hole. Not a good thing to do, in my experience. Like, you're just going to spitball off the top of your head. You're not going to be uninformed, and you're liable to make more mistakes.
That's a really good point. I think there's a difference between a reason and an excuse.
Yeah.
And the excuse is an excuse. It's making it sound like you're trying to get out of the hot seat, whereas a reason is an actual justification for why you made the mistake. And a reason implies that, yeah, I made the mistake. There may be an actual reason why, but I am owning up to it. I did make the mistake. Here's why.
Let me share a personal story about a situation like this. It was a mistake I made professionally, and how I owned up to it. So I was actually in a meeting with a client and with other departments. In this situation, it was with our UX department, going over wireframes with the client. And in the wireframes, there were mega menus. And for any listeners who don't know what mega menus are, there are these, you know, you click on a menu link and this big expanding area on the webpage shows up. Maybe there's images, maybe there's columns of text and whatnot. They can be a little bit of a pain to develop for a website.
I'm sure there are people out there going, oh, I hate them. Yeah.
Please tweet us your opinions on mega menus and carousels. I'd love to hear it. Sorry. That's aside. Anyways, talk about mega menus. I'm not the biggest fan of them personally. It was a real emotional response because the first time I saw them as the wireframes with the client there, and I was like, oh, mega menus. Like, we shouldn't be using mega menus here. Like, this is not the right place to do mega menus, and this is probably why you don't want to use mega menus. All the while, I was unaware that there had been ongoing conversation with the client, with UX, with design about the proper use case for mega menus. So to give the person from the UX team credit, they were like, well, we talked about, and this was in the meeting after I said my piece, they're like, well, you know, we've already talked about this. Maybe it's not the best time to address this right now. You know, we've talked about reasons why we want to use it. I quickly realized I had made a big mistake. You know, I wasn't showing unity with the rest of the team, you know, in how we represent ourselves to the client, and that was unprofessional. So I said, you know what, that's my mistake. I didn't realize you guys had talked about this. I apologize. Let's move on. Let's talk about the next part. It's like, oh, I like what you're doing here with these boxes. So and so. Smooth that out with the client. I don't think the client even noticed that. But still, the way I had treated that with the UX person, it was still a mistake on how I treated them and the work they did. So the next day before work, I went to, there's this expensive donut shop in town. I went and I bought them a donut. And I came in and I was like, hey, you know, yesterday when we were talking to the client, and it was wrong of me to rag on mega menus in front of them. I shouldn't have done that. I apologize. Do you like donuts? Here's a donut. And it was all smoothed over. So owning up to it and then taking responsibility for apologizing for your mistakes, I think, can go a long way professionally in development.
Yeah. And that goes back to what we were saying about communication just a little while ago, being able to align with people in a certain way in this scenario before you go in front of a client to make sure that you're all unified in your responses. Mike, may I ask you what donut shop it was?
It's a donut shop called, it's Blackbird, right?
Blackbird.
Blackbird Donuts.
Blackbird is so good.
So good. They are like artisanal donuts. I'm going to have to go tomorrow morning now.
Can you get me one? I'll pay you back.
All right. I can get you one.
All right, cool.
Jake, for our listeners, I know we have some who are you know, they're managers, or they work, you know, they oversee other developers. Have you run into any situations on how to handle when you've noticed others making mistakes, either your direct reports or just people on your team?
Yeah. In fact, I have a story, and this has actually happened a number of times. We work with a certain stack that requires a lot of dependencies and tooling, and particularly for new developers who aren't familiar with these tools, they can run into a lot of what I've come to consider very common mistakes or problems. And oftentimes they're a little too afraid to ask for help because they don't want to come off as incompetent. And what will end up happening is they'll spend several hours on a problem that could be addressed in just a couple seconds. And what will end up happening is a task will not get done. They'll end up coming to me and they'll say, hey, I wasn't able to get this done. I spent this time spinning my wheels on this problem. And I say, oh, you know, you should have come to me sooner because all you have to do is this and click clack on the keyboard and it's fixed. And they'll say in a one-on-one later on, you know, I feel bad about that. I just don't feel as if I'll ever be as good at troubleshooting things like that as you. And that's the perfect time to talk about a mistake they made. And I try to say something encouraging. For example, in this scenario, say, you know, you're going to learn to do that just the way that I did, because in order to troubleshoot those mistakes, you need to make every single one of them. Mm-hmm. You need to run into every single possible scenario before you can just, you know, put on your magic hat and fix anything. So I think that shows to them that, one, I'm not above making mistakes, and two, that I'm not going to condemn them for making mistakes. And then finally, I think it also reinforces the fact that everyone is going to make mistakes and there's an opportunity to learn from them. So I apologize. That was a little bit of a long answer to your question, but I think that when you're working with a direct report that makes a mistake, having a dialogue with them about it, not a scornful one, but having a dialogue about it with them so they understand it fully and can move on from it, having learned from it.
That is an excellent use of one-on-ones and using that time. I'm glad to hear that you do that. I try to do that as well. I mean, it depends on the severity of the mistake. I think there's obviously times when, you know, you pull someone aside and be like, hey, you know, you just made this faux pas, that let's talk about what happened. But then later on in one-on-one, and I've done this before, I like to approach it as, I noticed you made the mistake. You tried to fix it this way. Like, what did you learn from that scenario or from that situation? And hearing the feedback about how they realize it's a mistake or what they learned from, in opening the dialogue that way in one-on-one.
That's great. And I think sometimes that can also bring about some aspects of the problem that they may not entirely understand. So they can kind of recite what they think the problem is, but then you have the opportunity to correct that or just take it a step further and say, yeah, and also this aspect, and kind of comes full circle for them. So Mike, I want to actually go out on a limb and say, coming back to the whole idea of feeling like making a mistake is going to ruin your reputation, I fully believe that people are going to respect you more for being able to make mistakes and own up to them. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would say, I'm trying to think of like people I respect as developers or people I looked up to as developers, and thinking about how they've handled like tricky situations or made mistakes and they own up to them. Everyone I can think of in my head, like, they own up to them. And
the way I see it is, you have someone who's very confident in what they do, particularly if they're in like a leadership role. They end up making a mistake and maybe people notice. And if they don't acknowledge that they made a mistake, people might get the impression, oh, this person makes mistakes. Maybe they don't even know they're making mistakes, or maybe they do and they're trying to just not acknowledge it all. As opposed to someone who is in that leadership role saying, you know what? I screwed up. I totally made this mistake. Here's why I made the mistake, and here's the right way to do it. It demonstrates that you're someone who is not afraid of what other people think, demonstrates that you have people's best interest in mind, and it also encourages people to communicate openly and be transparent.
And it also shows your confidence in your abilities by being able to own up and say, I made a mistake. Like you're saying, here's the reasons why. Let's figure it out. Next steps. Let's go. Here's how we can fix it. That adds to confidence as a developer, and being confident in what you're doing is owning up to mistakes and showing that you make them.
I agree. That was very well said, Mike.
Well, thank you, Jake.
So what do you think? Should we wrap this up?
Yeah, let's talk about some key takeaways about mistakes. The number one being you're going to make mistakes as a developer.
Unless you're a robot.
Unless you're a robot.
Everyone makes mistakes. But we were talking about how mistakes have this negative connotation, but they can really be extremely beneficial to one's growth. But the trick is to only make new mistakes. Learn from your mistakes.
And with that, many mistakes can be avoided, right? Never set yourself up for failure. Calculate the likelihood of a potential mistake by determining if now is the right time or place to try something new, or if you're not sure, try avoid guessing and ask for advice or clarification.
Right. So don't make assumptions and make sure you're communicating properly. And then finally, when mistakes happen, and they most certainly will, as we said, don't try to cover it up or blame someone else. You don't want to ruin your reputation by being sneaky or petty. Own the mistake that will actually reinforce people's trust and respect in you. And if you're not the one that made the mistake, offer the person who did some support, especially if they're your direct report. You know, treat them like you'd like to be treated if you were the one who made that mistake. And if you happen to be the manager of that person, consult them and make sure they're aware of the mistake and have an encouraging dialogue around it.
And donuts always help smooth over mistakes, just FYI.
Donuts are really the key takeaway here.
From Aren't Blackbird. They always? Aren't they always? Unless you're a robot, then you don't care about donuts. For our listeners, though, I'd love to hear their opinions on mistakes and make mistakes and how they either avoid mistakes or making the same mistakes or how they approach owning up to mistakes. And I don't know, anything to do with mistakes and development.
I would say if anyone is comfortable with sharing one of the bigger mistakes they've made and how they've learned from it, particularly as a developer, we'd love to hear about that if you're willing to share.
If you're willing, we could share it on a future episode maybe.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah. But if you want to contact us and talk to us about mistakes you've made as a developer or development and mistakes, you can always reach us on Twitter at DevUpPodcast. Send us an email at hello@developingup.com or just go and join the community at developingup.com. We have a nice section where you can talk to other listeners.
This will be developingup.com/11.
Yeah, episode 11.
1-1. Yeah, and if you're enjoying this, then we would love it if you could give us a positive rating and some feedback on iTunes or share it with a friend.
Definitely share it with a friend, even if they're a robot, particularly if they're an RSS robot. Please share our podcast with them.
That was a good one.
Thank you.
Cool. So I think that'll about do it. So until next time.
Until next time. Thanks for listening.
All right. Take care, everyone.